I'm very happy now to welcome to the Radio Cafe David Geist. He's a pianist and composer. He's artistic director and performer at Geist Cabaret at Pranzo Restaurant here in Santa Fe. And he has a new CD. It's called Inside the Flame, Original Piano Solos. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
It's great to be here.
It's so great to have you.
Thank you for inviting me and to get to share music and wonderful discussions about all this.
Well, you know, I listened to the CD and I was thinking, because you do play different kinds of music at Geist Cabaret and Pranzo. You have such a background in theater and Broadway, and I was expecting that sound, but instead what we're listening to is what we started the program with, is a really, it's quite a combination of different influences in your music.
Absolutely. That's a perfect way to describe it. My previous CD, I called it Move On, A Piano Journey Through the World of Broadway. That was like my coming out to the community in Santa Fe. I wanted to show people I came from this world. I have a deep love affair with all that great American songbook music and Broadway musicals. And there is a composer side that had been shelved for a while. And, the time came, I thought, I really want to bring out this other aspect of my musical personality, my artistry. And my compositions are influenced by Broadway. They are influenced by contemporary musical theater composers. I got to work with people like Adam Gettle, Jason Robert Brown, and of course people like, Sondheim and Weber and such. But, theater music is so eclectic. So I find these compositions to be, they're very theatrical in their composition and in their conception.
And they are, and also it seems like there's other influences as well. Like I was listening to, of course now I can't remember which song on the CD it was, but I was thinking about Erik Satie and early 20th century classical music.
Well, I'm a romantic guy. I love romantic piano music, and of course, French Impressionism. But, I live in the 21st century, minimalism, Philip Glass, Steve Reich, all these composers, have really, it's part of my makeup. It really is. So I do feel like all this music is really, it's a total culmination of my experiences as an artist and as a musician living in the 21st century.
So how did you come back to your composer self? You've been performing for so long.
Well, when I was living in New York, and incidentally, I can't believe it's almost 10 years since I moved here, and I'm like so grateful. I feel like I have an incredibly fortunate artistic life living in Santa Fe, and it's helped me come out. I'm not just, like I talk to New York musician friends who are just surviving, and here I get to actually contemplate, well, what would I really like to say as an artist, as a musician, and I have the freedom to do that here and the support. And I actually wrote a musical when I was living in New York, and I've always written music while I was, rehearsal accompanying and that sort of thing. And the moment came, I moved to a new place, and I had all the freedom and just the permission to, what do you really want to say? And I started to just really sit and write, resurrect pieces that I hadn't thought about in a while. And all these wonderful influences started coming in to play, pop rock, classical. I don't like to say the word new age, but there are some new age, very minimalist, spacious moments, but it has a very dynamic quality to it too. So I would describe this music as contemporary classical music, 21st century contemporary classical music for the piano.
How did you find yourself in Santa Fe?
Everybody has their story and how they get there. I have some great friends that had moved from the East Coast to the Albuquerque area, and they were sort of my trailblazers. One of them is actually Tony Cesarano, who's a wonderful jazz guitarist, and we did Broadway shows together. And so I would come out here and visit my friends, and I always thought, wow, what a great way to live. And someday I'm gonna come back to this. I'm gonna remember this. I'm just gonna make a note of it and do. So I went back to my New York thing, and one day I hit my wall, and I called up my friends. I said, I hit my wall. I'm ready to try this one out. And it's worked out ever since.
What does hitting your wall mean for a musician?
Well, it's funny. You know, I know we talked a little bit about that movie Whiplash. I mean, the demands put on a performing artist and the demands put on anybody that is really a professional, whatever they do, could be, you know, sports. But especially being a musician in New York City, being a Broadway pit musician, which is what I did primarily, you know, the day in, day out, you know, 8 shows a week, constantly maintaining that, the energy to keep it up for all that playing night after night, day after day. And, you know, shows close and you're in hustle mode all the time and you're constantly kind of, you're in hustle mode and you've got this gig muscle that's up and it's relentless. There's no other way to describe it. So coming here, I was able to relax, settle into myself more, and then really contemplate, well, what do I really want to say as an artist? You know, I have this fortunate opportunity to do music in my, you know, in my lifetime. And so how would I really want to express that if I had just all the space to really think and contemplate that? And how would that look? And I feel really, really proud of this CD, Inside the Flame, because I feel like it really expresses that really deeply and correctly for where I'm at right now.
We're talking to pianist and composer David Geist. Now, David, you've got this new CD, Inside the Flame. I've been listening to it, and as I've been listening to it, I've been thinking about this question of, I mean, is it all totally written down? Are you playing to the music? Is there any improvisation that's going on as you're playing in the studio?
That's a great question. I know you know musicians very well, so I applaud that question. It is a combination of both. I have written down very abbreviated, what I call shorthand, so I can remember exactly what it is that I'm doing in every moment. If I ever, you know, drop one from playing these pieces and I wanted to come back to them, I would like to actually write out note for note these pieces and really publish them as contemporary classical music so students could play these in conservatories and people could put these on recital programs. But the answer to your question is, I would say about 70 to 80% of it is really very specific, and then there are rooms for improvisation. Some of these pieces, in the middle of a piece called The Seal, for instance, there's just a lot of, it's just the music opens up in a very, you know, passionate, processional kind of way. So there's moments of improvisation and there's moments of really very strict exactness.
When I hear you playing, I get the feeling of somebody who is friends with the piano, like who has a love relationship with the piano.
Thank you. All right.
And somebody who is like, it's like this gigantic forest and you're exploring the whole thing as opposed to, you know, a kind of more maybe smaller and delicate sound. This is such a kind of big and expansive sound.
Totally. Well, thank you for those words. I mean, that's a really beautiful way to describe the music. And I do feel like, you know, I've come to a point in my life where I'm able to have that kind of a relationship with the piano. I mean, I studied with masters, and there was a teacher in particular, Kenny Werner, a jazz musician who I was just, you know, in awe of, and he, you know, and I could see, wow, someday I want to have that kind of a relationship with my instrument. So you look at mastery and you're in the room with it and something gets transmitted. You know, I come back to the Whiplash movie again. I think the teacher was trying to impart and transmit mastery to the student. So the student-teacher relationship really is, it's a passed down lineage. So I feel like I absorbed some really great, masterful techniques from some great people. So yes, the music has all this wonderful expansiveness, and I do feel like I'm at a point in my life where I'm ready to explore and express that, and it's taken me up until this point to do that. So I feel like it's me emerging in all this wonderful, total, you know, dynamic range. So I'm happy that I have an outlet to do that in.
One thing I'm also struck by is, I mean, when you think about that relationship that you have with your instrument, there is both a kind of loving friendship that you've developed over all the many years you've been playing. I mean, you've been playing since you were a child. And also a kind of demand, like if you don't show up every day, you're punished.
It's an ongoing relationship, it really is. You know, as other musicians and I, you know, we've spoken about this, and it is a love affair. It is a marriage. There's another, I'm quoting all these like pop cultural references, but there's another television show called Mozart in the Jungle. I don't know if you've, and it's sort of kind of a dramatization of sort of like the classical Broadway musician lifestyle in New York. And there is a certain type of personality, people that are musicians that they do have sort of this a marriage of sorts with their instrument. So when they do get into relationships with people, you hope that there will be people that will understand that aspect of you. It's a full-time relationship. It's a full-time commitment to really do it well. And, you know, I imagine, you know, visual artists and dancers and actors, you know, the people that have that deep connection with whatever it is that they're doing would also have this kind of a situation. But I do feel like I've taken a lot of time to really contemplate the piano. And it is my voice, and I'm fortunate that I found an opportunity like this in my lifetime. And there are the rewards, and then there are also sometimes relationships do suffer because not everybody understands that you have this deep relationship with a musical,
right,
with your art.
I mean, your relationships with people can suffer because you've got this whole other marriage going on.
And there's another... I'm quoting all these wonderful references because I've thought about this many, many times. But there's a musical Sondheim wrote called Sunday in the Park with George, and it's about the pointillistic painter George Seurat. And they did a musical, you know, adaptation of the painting, you know, Le Grand Jatte in the Chicago Art Museum. But there's a moment in which Seurat has his girlfriend, and she expects him to take her out, and he says, "I can't go out tonight. I'm working on a hat." You know, he's working on this huge painting, Le Grand Jatte, and there was this hat on one of the people in the painting. He says, I can't, sorry, I've got to finish the hat. And he sings, and of course she storms out and she's disappointed, and he sings this song called Finishing the Hat, how you have to finish the hat. And by the end of the song, he says, look, I made a hat where there never was a hat. So that kind of sums up, you know, the one of the plights of being an artist. I mean, you can find very healthy relationships, but, in, you know, not to romanticize that, you know, you have to be alone and you know, and totally struggle to do your art. But there are challenges to choosing this kind of path, absolutely.
Well, and especially since, I mean, if you play an instrument, your hands are part of your instrument, and there is a kind of, I mean, the same way that athletes have to keep up their endurance and their muscle,
totally,
whatever it's called, you are like an athlete, essentially.
It is. I mean, everything I eat has an effect on the way I play. I mean, I'm so careful about the food I eat the day of a gig. I mean, you know, I'm wearing gloves in the heat of the summer. You know, I'm protecting my hands. I mean, certain things I'm just not going to do. I don't want to take any chance and stubbing fingers or whatever.
You're not going to go wood chopping.
No, I'm not going to do that. But, the eating aspect. And, yeah, just the physicality of making sure that your body and your mind and everything is really tuned up. So, you know, when I do these gigs and I invite people to come up to Pranzo on Friday and Saturdays, and, you know, I want to be as available as I can to just offer my art in as expansive a way as I can. So, and it does take it takes a lot of preparation to do that.
So you've been playing at Pranzo Restaurant for some time now, and you have your own room. It's called Geist Cabaret. It's a wonderful place to visit.
Fun.
They've got the same delicious menu upstairs as they have downstairs, and there's new ownership now.
It's wonderful. I mean, we're really in a new era. It's the new. It's a new generation of Pranzo. It's Pranzo 2.0, absolutely. Chef Steve Lemon took over about a year ago, and the food has just really, it's surpassed where it's ever been before. People are just coming in saying, oh my God, the food's so wonderful. You know, we couldn't be happier, food and music, you know, just these great qualities together. So, and this is a new staff. It's a whole new Pranzo 2.0. That's all I can say. Come by and check it out. It's really an exciting time. It's a new era for all of us.
David Geist, I want to thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thanks a million, Mary Charlotte.